All right, so what was your invitation to professional wrestling like? How did you get involved in it?
Oh, my God, how I got involved. Well, you want to hear, like, the first time?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So I was watching this, like, match. You guys watch, like, any wrestling at all? No.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah.
All right, remember AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Iron Man match, Victory Road?
2005, 2006.
Yeah. I was watching that, and that got me. I was like, oh, man, I got to do it. So, I was living in Brooklyn. I would go to Gleason's gym, Johnny Rod's. Trained like pretty much all these guys, and everyone came out of there.
Taz, Bill DeMott, Tommy Dreamer.
Who else? The Dudley Boys.
The Dudley Boys. Yep.
So I go there. He talks to me. And
Damien Demento.
Yeah.
Some pretty wacky guys.
Oh man. So like I go and he's just like, yeah, you know, he's talking to me. He's like talking up. He's like world champ. I'm looking at the wall, like, okay, looking at all those pictures, really not paying much attention. Mm-hmm. I meet the guy, I'm like, eh.
You're in his office?
Yeah.
So those pictures are all over the office. It's like a shrine to professional wrestling.
And he's just like, I'm Hall of Fame. Look at me, I'm Hall of Fame. I'm the man. I trained everybody. And I'm just like, okay. And I'm just like, I want to know how much it is. So he's like, $3,000. I'm not even out of high school yet. 17. I'm like, oh, damn. Okay. So I take a walk down a... to like the river. I just cried my eyeballs out because I'm like, I don't got $3,000.
This is in Dumbo, like right under the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, literally, like right under under the Manhattan Bridge. I sat on this giant rock. I'm looking at like the skyline, and I'm like, where the hell am I gonna get this $3,000 from? So a year passed, like a job working, and another guy comes up to me. He's like, yo, man, another friend of mine. It's like, oh, we're going out to Long Island. It's like $20 for the day. It's out around Concombe. I was like, real far away. And I'm just like, screw it, man, let's go. So we go, and I'm there, and there's, like, all these guys, and I'm thinking, you know, everyone's going to be jacked, yoked up, you know, super in shape. Nobody. Nobody was in shape. It was just, like, fat dudes and skinny dudes, and I'm, like, super skinny. Anyway, so I get in there, and, like, I do a couple of things. And, yeah, like, I had a match. Didn't know what to do, how to do anything. I just put something together for, like, 3-4 minutes, did it, and the promoter for the event had a like he has a school there, so we were there, and he's just like, hey, come down, let me talk to you for a second. So he's like, yeah, man, you know, we want to train you, $70 a month, sign a contract for a year. And it wasn't like signing a contract, I'm getting paid. It was just like, all right, we got your credit card on file, we're taking $70 out of your bank account every month. And he's like, all right, cool. I was like, but like I live out in New York City, so if there's anyone that lives like that works like that. You train here, that's from the city.
Yeah, oh, carpool.
Yeah, like carpool, man. And he's like, yeah, I got somebody coming Tuesday. I went that Saturday. I show up Tuesday, and I meet these two guys. This guy, Angel Ortiz, look him up, UFBO.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, I've interviewed him before.
Oh, yeah. So mm-hmm. I'm with him, and first day I'm just, like, super intimidated, and we go through, like, not really much the first day. It was, we do the falls, like the bumps we take and all that stuff, and I'm just kind of observing and looking at this guy, and I'm like wondering what are his credentials, because I've never heard of him. So
this is the guy training you?
Yeah, this is the guy training me. So I'm like, alright, do the falls and everything. He's like, alright, good. So he's like, I did some move, it was like an abdominal stretch. You know what that is, mm-hmm. right? You know what that is. Yeah. So I do that, and then he goes, do that again. Alright, here you go. Do the move. And he's like, oh, show me that. And I'm like, show you that? Oh, damn. I was I'm screwed. That was my introduction to professional wrestling.
So just to explain to people, because everyone thinks that like a wrestling mat is like light and fluffy, and that the ropes feel fantastic and they're springy and you bounce right off of them. Can you just explain like how bumps feel when you first start taking them and how the ropes feel when you first start bouncing off of them?
All right, when you first start, you don't know what to expect, think of you got hit by a car. Yeah. Like, if you fall on the floor, like, it's just like, if you fell, the wind that gets knocked out of you, your ribs hurt, you're like, trying to gasp for breath, that's how it feels. When you hit the ropes, it's like if you were to hit, like, just rods, like ice-cold rods that you just hit, and you just bruise up. After a while, your body just calluses up, and it's like nothing. You guys know how a ring is built? I give you an idea. It's some rings are a lot easier than others, but usually it's obviously four posts, traditional four-sided ring. There's these catch beams underneath that flex, that kind of bounce, so absorb the impact. Then there's either 2x4s that are like, well, 4x8s that are laid out in planks, or plywood sheets. Plywood hurts more, but makes a better sound, but it hurts more than the boards. And then there's about maybe an inch of padding. So, like, you guys do gym, have the gym class of wrestling. That mat is on top of that. Some places use just carpet padding, and that sucks. And then like a canvas, and it's just bungee to like the walls of the ring, and that's it. Some rings have a beam in the middle, so like there's like a catch, like a spring, and those hurt. Those hurt, dude. Like you land on that, it's like hitting concrete. But some rings are usually built better than others, and you could hit and bounce, but it looks phony. It looks like it's gonna break. It's like a trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
So
you've been doing this for, you've wanted to do this for about 10 years.
Yeah, I got into it about maybe 6 years ago, like hardcore.
So, first 6 years under your belt, where do you see yourself like 6 years from now?
Oh man, hopefully somewhere big. I want to travel the world. Obviously the big goal is like WWE. Before then I want to travel. Like, I want to go to England, experience that. I want to go to Mexico and like learn. Like you learn lucha here, but you go down to like Mexico, you really get the culture of lucha libre. Go there, go to Japan and learn that style, you know, and learn the language and just travel and just like experience life like on the road, going to different places, and then hopefully like end up WWE.
Can we just explain to them too how American wrestling is so different from like the UK catch and like lucha in Mexico and like the strong style in Japan, and why you would want to travel all over those places before you got to the WWE?
Okay, so in America it's really like stuff is drawn out. Like the guys wrestle at, you know, 300 days a year, so things are done at a slower pace and more for TV. So as if you, it's no different from watching a movie or watching like your favorite TV show. There's camera angles, there's different cameras, and the guys play to those cameras. So everything is broken down from like an interview from backstage, a vignette, the way you walk down to the ring, the cameras that you look at. When you're in the ring and doing something, the ref will tell you, oh, we're going to commercial break, tone it down, do something cool, and then we go back to it. We'll show the TV, oh, this is what they did, oh my God, we're back to the action. Stuff like that. And like, if the guy's got a headlock on, the guy in the production is like, oh, camera two, get him. And the ref would tell
about
you
faces and
so, hey, emotion. Look, turn to the camera and do the emotions. The guy's in the headlock, ah, hey, look at the camera. You know, stuff like that. And other places, it's not so like that. So like Mexico, for instance, is a lot of flying around as compared to the U.S. It's a lot of, American is more like, you tell a story to get you kind of captivated and get you lost in it and get you feeling sympathetic for the bad guy and the, you know, for the good guy and the bad guy, like, you know, beating you up, and then you're like, oh man, I want him to come back. And Mexico is like a bunch of guys in masks flying around and telling a story.
Spots.
Yeah. Like, oh, you know, arm drag, flip me do, out the ring, and everyone's like, oh my God, this is crazy, you know? And Japan is more like a fight.
Strike heavy.
Yeah, strike heavy, a lot of, you know, stiff slams. The ring is obviously, it looks harder. But that style came out of from way back when.
Oh,
when
yeah.
Back in like the 30s, 40s, the mob used to go, Japanese mob used to go watch wrestling, and they thought it was real. So these guys would hit each other, like for real, to show these guys, oh, this is legit. And they would place bets and everything.
When they already knew who the winner was
going to be. Yeah, the guys in the ring already knew who the winner was going to be. But, yeah, sometimes, you know, back, if you look back in a history of it, like if you guys want to look it up, like back before even New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is like the WWE of Japan, started, Ricky Dozan, all those guys, mm-hmm. you, JWA, they'll let you know about that. There's a movie out on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, it's great.
And this guy got stabbed, like, in a nightclub. With like a urine-soaked blade because he didn't want to, like, lose it. One guy and money was involved in craziness. But, yeah, but anyway.
And then England catch is more like technical wrestling.
Yeah,
like
lots suplex of heavy lots submissions. Of holds, switches. Not a lot of, like, talking, communication verbally. Just kind of like, all right, up, hold, up, grab that hold, grab that hold. So it's more of a wrestling mat-based style. And there's also rounds. So there's some companies even rounds still where, like, you do 5 rounds, 2 minutes, and whoever got, like, a pinfall, and it's all added up at the end. So, like, World of Sport, if you guys want to look up that, Johnny Saint, all those guys, Robbie Brookside, William Regal, mm-hmm. came from that.
Those are stuff.
So
if, like, Tully Blanchard and, like, Juventud Guerrero would have, like, a love child, like, that's where I would see you, like, somewhere, like, in between that. Very crafty, but, like, you can suplex, you can strike, but then you've got, like, that, like, switch that when you switch on, you could speed up. Mm-hmm. So that's what I see from you, but, like, you said AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels before, but who else do you think is kind of, like, a part of you?
Oh, man. Randy Savage. If I could pick one.
Yeah, we saw the elbow.
Shawn Michaels is another one. Bret the Hitman Hart. Even though, like, Owen Moore.
Mm-hmm. I think real wrestling fans always like
Owen. Yeah. Owen was the, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's, like, I love 80s, 90s wrestling. That, like, the colors, the over-the-top characters. Like, you would watch. And that's the difference with, like, American wrestling and, like, Mexican and, like, England and Japan. Now Japan is doing it more where there's more over the top guys. Mm-hmm. But, like, America, like, you would hear, like, a voice and you're like, ooh, yeah, you knew that was Randy Savage. You know, you would, what you gonna do, brother? You knew that was Hogan. That, if, you know,
yeah.
Makes sense.
Why would you put your body through all this? Like, what's your motivation? Man.
My motivation, I don't know. Someone asked me this a couple of years ago, and they were like, Joe, you have blind ambition. I was like, what? And then, I don't know, it's like something I love. I can't, like, getting in front of a crowd and having them at the palm of your hand. You know, it's like you're performing. I don't know if any of you guys, like, do rap or do, like, street dancing or sing or act on, you know, when you're not in school or not in class. There's, like, an adrenaline rush I get from it. And I'll just do it as long as I can, but that's why, you know, and yeah, it hurts.
So it's like I explain to them all the time, like, their first couple of articles, they're probably not going to get paid for. Their first 100, they may not be paid for.
Yeah.
You know, but when did you feel like you were getting, like, what you felt that you deserved for wrestling? And then, like, what's, like, what's a high number, what's a low number?
Money?
For a match, yeah.
Oh, man, low could be 40, 50, high could be, you know, 100, 150, 175, something mm-hmm. nice. Oh, man, then you do sell merchandise, so you make money off that, like, mm-hmm. pictures, t-shirts, stuff like that, you know.
Do you remember, like, your first match, did you get paid for it?
No, my first few years, I wasn't making anything, nothing.
You have a full-time job, or you have another job that you have besides this? So what is it?
Personal trainer.
Personal trainer. So that actually works out, man, good, because you need to be in the gym. You need to be in top condition. But even though, like, wrestling isn't your full-time job, you want it to be, and I guarantee, like, you're constantly thinking about different things.
Of course.
So, like, during the day, you're training somebody, and you're telling them, like, oh, do, you know, 4 more squats this and that. Like, what's going through your head? What are you thinking about?
No, most of the time, I'm focused on my client.
Okay, which is good. All right, so need to
You got to be focused on them.
Uh-huh.
They're paying you, so it's like, all right. But sometimes, like, the gym will hire another wrestler, and they'll come by. Yo, Joey, and I'm like, let me talk to you. Like, give me an hour, and you're like, but no, but like, I won't lie to you when I say it's like on my head, like in my mind constantly. Wake up, first thing I think about, go to bed. I'm watching a match before I go to bed. You know, I got like a notepad and pen. I'm like, oh, I'm trying to do that, I'm do this. I just did made my own ring jacket. So I bought this leather jacket because I was like, I'm spending money on a leather jacket because I won't buy a pleather jacket because on camera it'll look like it. It'll look fake. Spent $150 on a leather jacket, then went to Michael's and spent like another $225 on rhinestones. And for a week,
nice.
Like just with glue, each rhinestone on the jacket.
The way you wanted it.
The way exactly I wanted it. And, people were like, oh, my God, the jacket's dope. And I'm like, yeah. but I spent a lot of work on it.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, your shirts too, you probably design your own t-shirts too, right?
I'm designing one now. I had one when I first started, and it was like before, like, people started doing t-shirts, and then everyone started doing a t-shirt. So I'm doing one now, designing one now, so hopefully like next month it should be out.
So he's like a professional wrestler, personal trainer, fashion designer, researcher, historian.
Yeah.
It's all of these things that go into like creating the package. So let's talk about your character. Okay, the 5-star
stud.
Who is he?
This is weird because it started off where I didn't know what I wanted to do at first. I was like, oh man, I got all these influences. I'm sitting at home and I'm watching Ocean's 13. And they're like, all right, Joe, you need a catchphrase, you need a name. I'm like, oh crap. So I don't know. So I'm literally writing down everybody's catchphrase. Like Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, Stone Cold said so. Randy Savage, ooh yeah. Mr. Perfect, absolutely perfect. Everyone I could think of. You know, The Rock had a bunch of them. And I'm like watching Al Pacino and he's just like repeating his thing, like his award that he wants to this woman because he wants her to win it. So he's like, Cinco Diamantes, the 5 Diamond Award. Don't you get it? I need to win another one. Make it 5. And I just kept putting 5.
Glengarry Glen Ross, right? That's where that's from?
I think so,
yeah.
And he was like, I'm like, oh, boom, there it goes, 5-star stud. Right, so I'm like, oh, 5-star stud, Joey Ace. Oh, that's cool. And I was just kind of like at home with a pencil and I'm like tapping it and I'm just like, all right. I'm playing with a bunch of cards and I'm just like, I got it. Wait, Ace is high, bam. Oh, Diamond Shine, place your bets. 5 stars above the rest. Bingo, boom. So, like, everything I would say, like, even if I get lost in a promo, I would just go to my catchphrase, and that was it. Because it sounded like a lot. I could pause through it. You didn't know what I was saying, but it sounded cool, and it was catchy. Like, The Rock could say a bunch of stuff, and you don't remember anything.
Yeah.
You just laugh.
Yeah. And then you remember at the end, because he goes back to the catchphrase. So let's talk about that a lot. Like, the theatrics involved in pro wrestling. Like, the larger-than-life characters and stuff like that. Do some people that you know kind of like live their gimmick full? Do you think you live your gimmick full? You think you're a different person out of the ring?
I think I'm a different person. That's the thing. I can separate like okay, home Joey and then wrestling Joey. You know, because that it's there's other people you can just walk in and like oh yeah, he's that guy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be one of those things. Why is he gonna make it?
Yeah.
You know me. I'm more like punk rock, guy with a beard, long hair, bun, you know. So I'm not like that sophisticated, cocky, cunning, 5-star stud guy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make the me as me, and I feel more comfortable that way.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think you need to do to be as successful as you want to be, and how are you preparing yourself to do it, or how are you doing it now?
Well, obviously, work out, study your craft. But to you guys, because you guys are in writing and journalism, be confident in what you do. Just be confident and believe in yourself and what you're doing and what you're writing. That's how. That's pretty much it.
How many people have told you that you couldn't do this or no? Like you're like, oh, can I work here? No.
Oh my god.
How many no's have you heard in your life?
I get told no every day. You know. So I appreciate the yeses more with that.
Okay.
Yeah, but you got to keep grinding. You got to keep going. You're gonna get told no all the time.
So let's take us through like the average day of the 5.
Oh my god, you really want
to
know?
From waking up to like the day a day you had to wrestle,
like a show,
like a show. How would that work?
Oh man, so probably if it's a Saturday, probably waking up at 4 a.m. Get my stuff together, go to the gym, train a couple of clients because I don't sleep, and then eat, work out. If it's winter, go tanning. If it's not, I'm on the sun deck somewhere in my gym. Then get my stuff ready and go to the show, grab something to eat, get changed, get like another workout in around the ring, in the ring, get myself warmed up, get myself all ready, go to the person who I'm working with, you know, tell him I'm gonna beat his ass, and then wait around till the show happens, go in the ring, beat his ass, and then chill out for a little while, wait till everybody leave, go home, and then I'm not sleeping until like 3 a.m. because I'm all like revved up, like, oh my god, that was awesome.
So Warriors has picked up a lot of steam over like the last 2 years. It's gone from like this little indie promotion to like this bigger indie promotion mm-hmm. that like branches out. You guys are getting top flight talent from all over the place.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be a part of that and the growth of it?
That's cool, man. It's because you get all these different guys and different experience, and they come in and they talk to you. You know, you pick their brain, you get to know like what they're about, how they got in, what to do differently. They critique your stuff, you know, and all that stuff. So it's good. And they do seminars when they come in. Mm-hmm. So
last question from me. I was just watching the Seth Rollins, like, reclaim, rebuild, redesign thing. And he tells a great story about AJ Styles, how he had a match with AJ Styles when he was 19. Mm-hmm. And it went really well. And then after they went to go get something to eat, and when the bill came, Seth Rollins was going to pay, like, for his part. And AJ's like, nah. Like, I got you, and then the next time, you do it for somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, and Seth Rollins, like, never forgot that. So have you had a moment with somebody where you were like, wow, okay. Or not had a moment.
No, I haven't had that moment.
Or been disappointed in somebody, something like that.
Oh, man. I don't know how many times I've been disappointed. I will have you here for, like, the whole day to tell you stories.
If you can give us one, that would be great.
Oh, my God. I guess it's that first one where I put the guy in a hold. He was like, how do you do that? And I was like, what? That's when it started.